If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes here. We want to tell everybody it's a kind of a short show with us. We'll end this at 5:30 because LSU baseball takes over at 5:30 pregame as the Fighting Tigers play the Oklahoma Sooners in Norman, Oklahoma. And first pitch will be at 6 o'clock. You can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. News this morning broke, I guess, about mid-morning that former Ponchatoula High School star quarterback, he also played at LSU, now at Tulane, TJ Finley, was charged in connection with an alleged stolen car out in Georgia. And so to break this sort of case down with us and not knowing all the intricacies of it, we have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Craig Murdoch, criminal defense attorney here based in New Orleans, but you can hear him all over the country. Craig, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Mike. Good to talk to you today.
Craig, kind of break down the charges on TJ, and basically this seems, just from what I've been able to read, he's being charged one part that is the vehicle is worth more than $25,000, but it would seem to be that he is in possession of a stolen vehicle. If he knew about it or not, you know, they'll figure that out, but kind of break that down to our listening audience on exactly from what you've been able to gather with this case on TJ Finley, and he has been suspended from the Tulane football team.
Yes. So TJ Finley was arrested yesterday. His Dodge Ram truck was blocking a driveway on Claiborne Avenue. The police were called out to the car the truck blocking the driveway. They found out a plate that was registered to a TJ Finley or a Tyler Finley. Finley then shows up, says he bought the car in Atlanta. The car is in the National Crime Information Center database as being stolen. Finley says he bought the car in Atlanta. He has no paperwork. And the license plate that is on the car is registered to a different car that is owned by Finley. You are correct that he either needs to know or should have known that the car was stolen. That is the intent element of the charge. If he did not know the car was stolen, and there is no reason for him to know, let's just say, I give you an example. A friend of mine says, hey, Craig, can you take my car to the car wash? And I go, sure. And I'm driving to the car wash. I make a wrong turn. I get pulled over. The car comes back as being stolen. I have no reason to believe the car is stolen. I am you know, I'm not guilty. But in this case, he had a license plate on the vehicle. So he bought the vehicle without getting a temporary tag, which, you know, he also owns a previous vehicle. So he has bought, successfully purchased the car before and presumably had the appropriate paperwork and had the car registered properly. And so he goes and buys a second vehicle, this Dodge Ram truck, and now he's putting a license plate on it from a different car, which, you know, that is probably the best thing that you could say about this incident.
Craig, in the fact that, you know, you see it on TV shows sometime about, you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You're still going to be charged. But in this case here, if you're putting on a different license plate on that vehicle that wasn't the one that you bought, then you have some knowledge that maybe this isn't all connect the dots here.
Correct. And that, to me, if there was a license plate from a different vehicle on the car or a license plate from, you know, a vehicle not owned by Finley, or there was no license plate on the car or something along those lines, I think he would have a stronger claim to not knowing the car was stolen, even if he didn't have the paperwork on him. But yeah, the fact that he took a license plate from a car he owns and put it on the new vehicle, I think is going to be a hard sell to prosecutors or the DA's office reviewing this case in saying that the case should be dismissed. I think there's a 99% chance that he has some consequence to this arrest, no matter what. He's not just walking away scot-free in this case.
What, I guess, kind of generality with it that what you would get for a charge like this, that you had knowledge that you purchased a vehicle that was not owned by the seller itself. What kind of sentence would you get out of this from a Finley standpoint?
Well, Finley has no criminal record. He is a college student. I think this case should go to diversion, which is a non-judicial resolution. You just pay the DA's office some money, you attend some classes, and then they come back and dismiss the case. Okay, I think that is probably the most likely scenario. I will just tell you, in the last 18 months, I have had some difficulty getting people into who normally would be diversion eligible into diversion in the Orleans District Attorney's Office diversion program. So I don't know that it's automatic. I would also tell you, as you know, this because you're on a talk station, this DA's office in Orleans has been maligned in the media for a while. And I just dealing with them on other things that I've dealt with, they like very easy wins and things that they can get easy convictions on. And this would be a fairly easy case to get a conviction or a plea of guilty on. So I would probably think that, you know, he should get diversion. I think diversion is the most likely outcome here, but it would not stun me if he did not get diversion. And if that's the case, then possession of a stolen vehicle over $25,000 is a felony. It is not a crime of violence. There's no mandatory minimum. And Finley, although I know he has an arrest from when he was at Auburn, I don't know how that was resolved. I tried looking that up online before I came on, and I didn't see where there was a resolution to that. But he basically has a minimal or no criminal records. He would, if he pled guilty or was found guilty at trial, he would get probation for something like this. Also, the car is being returned to the owner. So I would assume that, you know, as long as there's no damage to the car or anything like that, that, you know, probation would probably be the most likely outcome or the likely outcome if he does not get into diversion. So, again, we also don't know enough about the case. The only thing that's in the record is a gist. It's on my Twitter at CJ Mordock. You can read it. And it's just a very short statement that says that, you know, Finley had a license plate that belonged to another car of his on the vehicle. And he said he bought the car in Atlanta, and the car was run, the VIN number was run through NCIC and came back stolen. So, I mean, there are probably a lot of facts that we don't know. But, you know, again, having the license plate of a car that you own that's on the stolen vehicle, it's going to be a real tough sell to anybody that you shouldn't have known that this vehicle was stolen or that there was something shady going on when you purchased the vehicle.
How long do you think this will take to get resolved if he does get diversion, probation part of it? Because, man, we've seen some of these cases. I know you've seen them. Man, they last forever in this sort of spot. This would seem to be a sort of a quick resolution type spot for Finley and the DA's office.
It should be a quick resolution. And if I am Finley's attorney, I am already reaching out to the DA's office, providing them whatever information I can provide them that goes to Finley's knowledge. And then also saying, can we get him in the diversion as quickly as possible? Because once he's accepted into the diversion program, that the actual criminal case will be dismissed. So he wouldn't have anything hanging over his head. He would just have to complete the diversion program. And you know, that might go a long way to getting him back to playing football.
Craig, before I let you go, because I know this, man, you're a huge Saints fan, so I'm going to give you a shot at this. Give me the Saints' first-round pick this year. Who you want to see them pick? Come on. You got to do it for me.
I don't think he will be there because you discussed this with me on Twitter, but I absolutely love Jalon Walker from Georgia. And I think in Brandon Staley's defense, he would be a guy who can rush the passer, drop back into coverage, and be a kind of a rangy linebacker, do it all, and be a guy who can disguise disguise whether he's blitzing or disguise whether he's dropping back. He's a guy I really like. I think he's very versatile. I also love Emanori from South Carolina, although I think he's kind of like a more of a Taysom Hill type player on defense where you can use him in different ways. I know you know this, but South Carolina had him playing I think he weighs 220 or 225. They had him playing very close to the line of scrimmage.
Yes, they did.
Yes. And so I really like that about him. And I think he's a hybrid player on defense, which I mean, you would have to love if your goal is to disguise coverage and disguise blitzes. I just think the Saints defense has so many just basic problems, and they just need young guys on defense who fill, you know, very specific roles. That taking him at the 9 pick, it might be a bit of a waste, but I absolutely love him. And I think he's going to be a very, very good player. I just don't know that he's a fit for the 2025 Saints. So those are the two guys that I really like in the draft. But I've only read your draft guide for about 10 years. So I don't particularly, all my knowledge comes from you, Mike.
Craig, thanks so much for joining us and breaking down the case. And I guess we'll get some more information, and we'll have you back on to kind of explain everything once we get a little bit more information on the charges and what happens with Finley. But I agree with you from talking to other people that kind of know the law a lot more than me. This would seem to be a case where he would get probation and diversion, and he'll be back at Tulane fairly quickly.
Thank you, Mike. It's good to talk to you, as always.
Thanks so much, Craig. Craig Mordock, criminal defense attorney here based in New Orleans, but you can see him, man. He's all over from the Today Show, you name it. Craig's been there. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the head basketball coach of the UNO Privateers, Stacy Hollowell. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And listen, I got to give you your props. A couple weeks back, you said, hey, the ones are going to get there. Sure as hell, you were right. The ones are there.
Hey, how hard is it to pick that, though, you know?
hey but you never know.
By the way,
you never know. You never know. And the way the tournament is, Coach, getting to the particulars in the Final Four, we saw Florida, and they were not a favorite team early in the year. We've had people say, you know, I mean, man, you could have made a lot of money if you'd have bet on them to get to the Final Four, win national championship before the season started. And you saw how they closed, and they closed strong in the SEC. And in tournament play, they've almost stuck their hand in the piranha water, and sometimes a little bit too long, and they got bit a little bit, but they survived. And now they go up against Auburn. Your thoughts on the matchup between Florida and Auburn? And in particular, we maybe have not seen the best Gators in tournament time yet.
Yeah, when we talked before, we talked about Auburn coming into the tournament kind of looked like they were bored with just beating everybody, and how they might get on a roll, and they kind of did. And then Florida struggled with UConn, and I thought Texas Tech had them. And the way Walter Clayton shot the ball and Thomas Huff shot the ball late, you know, it was amazing to see. It's kind of like a Steph Curry-esque type run there to close that game out. And if you look at the stats, you know, tempo favors Florida if they get out and go. You know, they've got shooters everywhere, and they've got a good interior presence there with Alex Condon, and National Player of the Year candidate Jani Broome on the other end. And if he's out, you got, you know, Dylan Cardwell, who's been at Auburn, it seems like, forever. They've got shot makers. So I really feel like that game's just going to come down to who's hot in the moment, and should be a really good one.
You look at Duke and Houston, and I know the people who are laying a few, you know, dead presidents printed on paper, they go in Houston's way. They want Houston to win that game. But, man, what would it take for the Cougars to beat Duke, who – man, you see it in spurts, Coach. Man, they look like, you know, hey, they king of the mountain, and you better throw me a haymaker to knock me out. And it's going to take that to do it. Do you think the Cougars have enough in the tank here to knock off Duke?
Well, they're certainly physical enough, and they hit the boards hard enough. You know, if they control tempo, they're one of the slower, they're the slowest of the four left in pace. And if they can kind of keep that tempo and defend the way they have, rebound the way they have, you know, they've got enough shooters with LJ Cryer and Emmanuel Sharp. Point guard can shoot it a little bit. And so I think they do. And then you gotta, you know, wonder if Duke's, you know, the age nowadays is always a question. You know, is Duke old enough and mature enough to handle the physicality and the kind of strength and maturity of a Houston team?
Yeah, Coach, I wanted to ask you about Coach Shire specifically. Mike and I have talked about this before. You never want to be the guy that follows the guy and the legacy that Coach K left. But what Coach Shire has done in such a short amount of time at Duke, I know it's a loaded roster, and we'll talk about the NBA draft in a few months and how they basically have three projected top 10 picks on that Duke team. But just the job that Coach Shire has done getting them to this point.
Well, he was able to get in there and get some really good players in a short amount of time. And, you know, when I was at Loyola, there were years I thought I just did a great job coaching, right? But we were maybe in the middle of the pack. And it always seemed like the guy that was coach of the year always had the best players and always had the best record. So he's done a great job. You know, Tyrese Proctor is a really good player. Con Canupel, Cooper Flag, you know, all of those guys. The Sudanese coming to watch is, I mean, who's shooting 71% from the field?
his numbers are insane, video game numbers on the glass. So they just got a really good team. And they get out and go. And net rating is high. You look, offensive rating 130, defensive rating 90.5. So you got like a 40-point split there. On paper, they look like the best team, but I don't know if they're going to be able to handle Houston's physicality.
Going back to Florida Auburn and having watched Bruce Pearl's career, and he is a magnet for attention now, and that's just his personality, a little bit like Will Wade to a certain extent. He's going to grab all the oxygen out of the room. But how do you look at it from a coaching standpoint with him this year? I think he has really done a good job, because that's a lot of pressure when you have a talented team to succeed at the highest level. Maybe not so if you got a bunch of young guys and, we're going to play maybe for the next year. But one thing with Bruce Pearl, he plays for the moment. And I think he did a tremendous coaching job this year at Auburn.
Yeah, I agree. There's a maturity that comes with having continuity in your program, and he's been able to hold that group together, particularly, Broome and Cardwell. Those are two really key pieces there. And when you have that, those guys can make you look really good. And then you add a piece like Tahad Pettiford, who is, a really talented freshman, and you got something special. So, really good coach. He certainly has his opinions and is not afraid to share them. Not necessarily how I would do it, but, to each his own.
Going back to Florida here, Coach, I just want to get your thoughts on their run. I mean, just the region that they got as far as the bracket set up, a lot of folks thought it was the toughest region out there of the four, but they, take down the top seeds as well. Like, you go past the two-time defending champion with UConn, and then you take down the hot crab five with Maryland, and then all of a sudden you're beat by Texas Tech, and then you go on an 18-4 run in the final couple minutes of that game to squeak it out. I mean, the run that Florida's been on, as Mike kind of mentioned earlier on in the first question that he asked, they haven't played their best basketball, but that is a battle-tested team going into Auburn.
Yeah, it gives you confidence to know that you can dig out of a hole like that in a short amount of time. And they just have so many shooters. If Alex Condon can handle Jani Broome and those shot makers step up the way that they have, I think Florida could be okay. But again, Auburn is equally talented and coin flip on both games.
Coach, I'm going to put you on the spot. Give us the winner. Who plays Monday night?
Oh, my goodness. In my bracket, I had Florida and Houston. And I had Florida winning it. And I am much less confident about that today than I was when the bracket started.
Well, Coach, you got to ride that pony till it threw you off. And so far, it hadn't thrown you off. So you got to keep riding it.
Well, I'm stuck with it now.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. We want to get you back, and we'll talk a lot more about basketball and the recruiting at UNO and how that has shaped out, certainly with some help from Master P and getting a little bit more oomph back to the program, and certainly financial dollars. We all know, about funding. It certainly helps in a great way. So when we get you back on, we'll talk a lot more about how that's going for UNO basketball.
Would love it. Looking forward to it.
Thanks so much. I want to thank Coach for joining us. And Charlie, I do remember when he came on, he was pretty specific. And I think he was like you with it. Give me the chalk. Give me the chalk teams.
Mike, it's historic this year's bracket. Like, everyone will talk about chalk madness. But the four teams at the top entering the tournament were four of the best teams as far as efficiency rating in the past 25 years. It makes sense that, people would pick the one seeds to make it here. And here we are heading to San Antonio, all four one seeds battling it out. And listen, you can say what you want about Cinderella's. It's four fantastic teams that are going to be facing off in the Final Four. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, the shoe didn't fit on Cinderella this year.
No, not this year.
Not this year. We'll be back and we'll have our Inside the NFL Draft daily segment right here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottaglia along with Charlie Long, and it's our Inside the NFL Draft that we do on a daily basis leading up to the NFL Draft. And Charlie, you and I talked about this yesterday. We were going to talk about the safety position. We didn't even know that Emin Wurie would be visiting the Saints today. That's just kind of a connect the dots. But it's one of the positions, this is year 40 for me doing this, that has changed quite a bit. At one time, you were looking for the thumper. At the safety position, the enforcer, you cross the middle, I'll make you pay the price, I come up the seam fast and run support, I can be an okay cover guy, I'm the last man of defense. Today, you better be able to cover, because if you can't cover, you play in special teams. And it's affected how teams have used early round picks on safeties. And when you think back at it, in a 10-year span, there's only been 13 first-round pick safeties, and only one in the top 10. That's an easy one. Jamal Adams, former LSU guy, goes to the Jets 2017 with the 6th overall pick. In 2023, in that draft class, there were no first-round pick safeties in that spot, none. Last year, I thought, wait, in 2023, I did think Brian Branch would go in. You and I talked about that. He lasted all the way to 45 going to Detroit. That's a steal for them, because I know one thing, Brian Branch can play. And then last year, there were none in round one and three in the second round. One guy I liked, and he was right on the border of a first, second, was Tyler Newbin, who went 47 to the Giants, and he's going to turn out to be a good player for him. This year, we got two that'll go in round one, Malachi Starks from Georgia and Nick Emenwori from South Carolina, two differing body types. Malachi is the guy that came in, highly recruited defensive back, had played a lot of corner in high school. He did play nickel corner for the Bulldogs this year, but he's basically been what I would call a roam safety, a guy that kind of is a center fielder, just sits back, gauges the play. They've used him a lot on getting extra pressure with a defensive back. Kirby Smart trusted him because he knows what to do out on the field, and he gets everybody else to understand what to do. So, and he might not be the biggest, fastest, strongest. All I know is that guy knows football, A to Z, and he is one hell of a player. Nick Emenwori is the – if you were going to carve a safety out of stone, that's what he would look like. He's 6'3 1/8". He weighed in at 220 pounds at the combine. He ran a sub-4.4 40-yard dash. Unbelievable times. But then when you watched him play, when he came out of high school, he was brought into South Carolina as a will linebacker. And then, you know what? Hey, that guy can cover. But they played him a lot, as Craig Murdoch brought up. They played him a lot up on the line of scrimmage to help out and run support. I think some of that having to do is they were telling their ends, sick him. Get after the quarterback, and Emenwori will take care of things if they try to run a draw delay. And that's what he was doing. But you watch his coverage skills, and it is really good. He picked off 4 passes last year, and he brought 2 of them back for scores. He had 3 other almost interceptions, I should put it. It hit his hands. He just didn't catch it. But Emenwori and Starks, two different type players, but both fit in today's world of the NFL because they can cover. Starks will see some work in the slot as a cover corner, but he'll be a free safety. Emenwori is going to be kind of, I guess, the joker player in the secondary. You can put him up on the line of scrimmage almost like another safety. You can play him deep in center field. He matches up well in the coverage part of the game. The only negative I see, and I'm nitpicking with him and Worry, is that sometimes there's a little hesitancy to run up the seam quickly. He's trying to read something. He sees it with his eyes, but it's to get his body rolling in there quicker. The one thing with Malachi, man, it don't take long for the brain to tell the body what to do, and he's there. So two totally different type players, but they fit in today's world of the NFL because both can cover. It's going to be how you value the safety position and how well they fit on your particular defense.
I agree with you, Mike. They're both first-round picks. And, you know, it's a little bit of a top-heavy position in this year's draft, but, I mean, Xavier Watts is probably going to be a second-round pick as well from Notre Dame. I think he's also going to be a good safety at the NFL level. It's a good class. It's quietly a good class, but it's a good one. And so with Malachi Starks and Nick Emenwori, as you mentioned, both going to be first-round picks, Emenwori specifically, for those that care about RAS, and I know we've kind of bashed it a little bit on this show because we care more about the football player rather than the athleticism, it's 10 out of 10. Perfect 10 out of 10 relative athletic score from Nick Emenwori. Malachi Starks, though, is the one that's super intriguing to me, Mike, because I'll see him fall out of like the top, you know, 15, top half of the first round. I just don't see it. I think that his range starts around, you know, the early teens, and he's a guy that's just a plug-and-play upgrade in your secondary. As you mentioned, playing free safety, could also play slot corner. You know, you mentioned that Emenwori is kind of the quote-unquote joker player of the secondary. I think that Malachi's got a little bit of that to him as well. And he's a very clean prospect. You just know that he's going to be, you know, I talked with about Will Campbell like this on the offensive side of the ball, that he's going to be a stud pro for a long time in the NFL, a very safe pick. That's kind of how I feel about Malachi Starks as far as the secondary pick, defensive player. It's just a matter of, you know, how teams value what he can provide as secondary, because he's not going to be your top corner or anything like that on the outside like a Will Johnson or potentially a Jadae Barron could be. But at the same time, I think he's an instant upgrade to your secondary.
Yeah, I think both of them will be immediate starters in the NFL. They both different body types. When you're coming off the bus, Emenwori, you come up before Malachi does, because, man, Charlie, I'm still shocked. How did LSU beat South Carolina?
You know, Mike, tell the story. I know we're heading to break, but you told me this off air about Garrett Nussmeier and how he kind of gave Emenwori a little bit of a trick on one of those. What was it, a touchdown pass, right?
On the touchdown pass, he never looked his way. Never. And then he slung it because Emenwori is reading where Nussmeier is looking. He never looked in the direction of where he threw it until the final second, and he whips it out there. Emenwori, you can see, he reads it now. He sees it's going away from him, and he is just like inches away from him to make the play. But Garrett sort of caught him there a little bit. But, man, you talk about a stacked defense. Charlie, between that and Ole Miss, how the hell did they lose any games?
Yeah, South Carolina's front seven was disgusting as well with some top prospects that we'll get to on the defensive line pretty soon here. But, yeah, Emenwori being kind of the enforcer of the secondary, it was a really, really solid defense all season.
It was a terrific defense all season long. And you brought – I'll take another guy, too. I really like his Kevin Winston Jr.
From Penn State?
From Penn State.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. Man, his tape is very clean. He's very good in run support, and he has gotten much better in the coverage part of the game. And I know we get a lot of people ask about Makuba from Texas. I first saw him in high school. Then he goes to Clemson. He's always been a very good football player. Always. That part, he may not get an A in everything. He's a B-plus guy all across the board, other than one thing, leadership. A-plus. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. We come back. It'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature. And then at 5:30, right here on the Big 870, it'll be LSU, Oklahoma. First pitch at 6 o'clock. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. It's our Bet 365 triple option feature. And, Charlie, before we get into that, some news breaking out of Baton Rouge, and different outlets are reporting that LSU's Flaje Johnson will not enter the WNBA draft, and Flaje is going to return to LSU for her senior season with the Lady Tigers. And certainly that's great news for Kim Mulkey and LSU's women's basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a sort of sour note to potentially end your career on, losing in the Elite Eight to UCLA. But Flaje Johnson, obviously one of the premier players in women's basketball, especially college women's hoops, 18.6 points per game, 5.6 rebounds per game, 2.5 assists per game this past season for LSU. Heading back for her senior season is gigantic news, as you mentioned, for Coach Mulkey and the Tigers.
No question about it. Charlie, some news certainly around the National Football League today. The Arizona Cardinals are really close to cutting the deal with Pro Bowl tight end Trey McBride, and they would make him the highest paid tight end in NFL history. A new 4-year, $76 million extension and $43 million guaranteed. How about that? But Trey McBride.
That's a pretty penny, but Trey McBride is one of the premier young tight ends in the league, Mike. When you're talking about the renaissance of recent years, like, you start with maybe like Sam Laporta, Brock Bowers. Trey McBride's right up there in that conversation too. So I don't think it's an overpay. I know that people were criticizing him for a long time this past season because of the lack of touchdown production, but man, he's a weapon for that Arizona passing attack, and they obviously locked him down.
Yeah, when you got that many cats guarding you downfield, especially in the end zone, you're touchdown rate is not going to be high, but, man, can he catch the ball? And he has really turned into a top-flight player in the NFL. Also, the Raiders came up with a new two-year extension with quarterback Geno Smith, $85.5 million, $66.5 million of it guaranteed, which makes him the 17th highest-paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, middle of the pack. And with Geno specifically, I think that the situation in Seattle turned a little bit toxic. Mike, I don't understand really, and maybe this is from an outsider's perspective, because I know how many Saints fans hate Derek Carr, for instance. A lot of Seahawks fans couldn't stand Geno Smith. And, you know, we'll see if, like, the grass is greener, so to speak, for Seahawks fans getting Sam Darnold in-house. But, like, it felt like Geno, and I know that he had good weapons in Seattle, but that offensive line in Seattle,
it
just
was sorry.
Stunk. And it felt it like Geno made a lot out of nothing, right? So we'll see what happens. They decided to give Sam Darnold a huge contract, 3 years, $100 million. And then Geno gets a nice little payday with the Raiders. So good for him.
Also today in a trade, and boy, did I get a lot of texts about this guy, Joe Milton. And Joe and I go back a little bit. Boy, did he cut up with me at Manning Passing Academy. The story behind the story there is I had an interview scheduled with Joe Milton. The media sort of flocked all around Jaden Daniels. Jaden was a good dude, and he told me, Mr. Mike, I'll do the interview as soon as I'm finished with everybody else. I'll give it to you. I go to interview Joe Milton, and guess who's ready to get interviewed? Jaden Daniels. Boy, did Joe give me some crap all
yeah,
about
did.
That. And you heard it because I sent you the tape.
We ain't
of
lost
it.
No weapons, coach.
We ain't lost no weapons, coach. What you talking about? We lost three guys. And no, the three guys that he was throwing to, they all went to the NFL. And then he cuts up with me, but he did warn me. I'm going to give you I'm temperate. I'm going to give you a little bit of flack
right.
for you walking away and going interview Jaden Daniels instead of me. I said, okay, if I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, you would get interviewed first. So he just laughed about it. But, man, he was a big-time cut-up. You talk about an arm talent, and he's got it now. He's wildly inconsistent. And so what happened, the Patriots traded Joe Milton and a seventh-round pick to the Cowboys in exchange for a fifth-round pick. And from all sources I've talked to, where there were other teams interested in Joe Milton, no one made an offer but Dallas.
Oh, wow.
No one made an offer other than the Cowboys. So now he backs up Dak Prescott there. And, man, you talk about a dude that can throw the ball. Now, sometimes it's not accurate, but, boy, he's got a rifle. And we saw in that final game last year, he displays some talents that, man, he teases you as a player because he has immense skills. It's the consistency part that's not there yet for Joe Milton.
And Joe, as you mentioned, Mike, he's got a howitzer attached to his right shoulder. He can fling it with anybody, and I mean anybody in the NFL, with as far as arm strength goes, but consistency, accuracy as well. He had a great showing against Buffalo in the season finale, which, you know, I think Patriots fans are a little bit upset about because it dropped them to the fourth overall pick in this upcoming draft. But 22 of 29 in his one game play this season, 241 passing yards, a 75.9% completion percentage, and a touchdown to no picks. It's an interesting move for Dallas because it's very, like, low risk. You only give up a fifth round pick, and you also get a seventh in return. It's a strange trade. I get that New England's 100% committed to Drake May. They obviously should be. He showed great flashes in his rookie campaign, working with basically nothing, because that Patriots team just needs to completely rebuild. But they have the key piece with Drake May. So Joe Milton, you know, yes, him getting traded was almost a certainty at some point. But Dallas only throwing out a fifth-round pick, I mean, that's not really that bad for them. I actually like the trade for the Cowboys a lot.
I agree with you, and on a side note, Joe Milton from Pahokee, Florida.
Okay.
That's the hometown of Ricky Jackson.
There you go.
And, man, I tried to get him to talk to me about playing that time at Michigan with Jim Harbaugh. He just waved me off. I ain't talking about Harbaugh. And that one wasn't just a mess with me. I think, you know, there was a little bit of friction. But I could see how him and Jim might not quite jive together. But Joe Milton getting another opportunity in Dallas. So, Charlie, I'm going to throw it to you and your triple option feature.
Yeah, Mike, I'm going with something Ian Rappaport from NFL Network had on the Insider show on the NFL Network talking about the Saints and their potential pursuit of a quarterback in this year's draft.
The Saints do need a long-term solution. Say whatever you want about Derek Carr, not someone who's going to be the Saints quarterback for the next 10 years. In fact, there were plenty of times, Mike, you and I talked about it. We thought Derek Carr might not be the Saints quarterback this year. The reason they paid him all the money, the reason they put themselves in that position to restructure his contract, because they don't want to have to go into this draft absolutely needing a quarterback no matter what. They don't need a quarterback. They have one for this year, but they are in a position where they could take one. They have done all of the quarterback homework. They have been a heavy presence at pro days. They have been a heavy presence at quarterback workouts. They have done all of the background and homework. So if there is a quarterback there that they like in the top 10, for sure could take one, would make a lot of sense. A quarterback wouldn't have to play right away. Would also not be surprised if they traded back into the first to get maybe a third or fourth quarterback and say, you know what, you can also sit. The Saints don't need one, but for sure, guys, they are a team that could end up taking a quarterback in late April.
Audio courtesy of the NFL Network. And Mike, real quick, Lance Zierlein in his third mock draft, this is what actually stemmed the conversation, had the Saints trading up with Philadelphia for the 32nd overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft and selecting Jackson Dart, the quarterback from Ole Miss. And you and I talked about this yesterday. We don't know if Dart's going to be there late in the first round.
I don't think he'll be there.
You think he's going to be gone by around pick 20. So, you know, that's everyone's got their opinion come draft, mock draft season. But, you know, some NFL Network analysts are saying the Saints are obviously interested in the quarterback class this year.
I agree with Ian. I think they're in the quarterback business. They will pick one in this draft class. I don't think any question they're in the quarterback business. Lance and I have talked about this, and Lance does a fantastic job. I just don't see Jackson Dart going all the way to 32. I agree with his premise on what he's presenting, that the Saints could get back in round one to select Jackson Dart, but they better get higher than 32.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to potentially have to hop some teams like the Steelers and the Rams that could be interested in that 20s range, and we'll just have to see how it all goes, because now there's buzz, and once again, it's mock draft season, it's a couple weeks leading up into the draft where everyone's going to be throwing stuff at the wall. Where folks are saying that maybe two quarterbacks won't go in those top three picks. So we'll see how it all plays out.
That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing up here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, want to tell everybody at 5:30, pregame, LSU Tigers playing the Oklahoma Sooners. And Charlie, man, that guy on the mound for the Sooners are going to give the Tigers one hell of a ride tonight.
Yeah, Kyson Witherspoon and Kate Anderson's a hell of an arb too, though, Mike. Yes, it's going to be a battle of the aces. Really looking forward to it. They were actually both named to the 2025 Golden Spikes Award midseason watch list today, so we'll see how that kind of shapes up as well, Mike. But yeah, when we were talking with Scott Sanders about this, it's a really big game tonight specifically, because if you can take down Witherspoon, which has been easier said than done, Mike, this season, you have the advantage in the next two games. So if you can pick up game one, we'll see what happens in Norman this weekend.
And I think we had one of the guys talk about how the Sooners are a much better team at home than on the road.
Yeah, 15-1 at home this season. So,
and so that's a pretty hefty number when you look at it. And then you got the ace coming out tonight throwing for the Sooners. But LSU's got theirs also on the mound tonight. Want to thank everybody for listening. It's an abbreviated version of Sports Talk today, but keep your dial tuned in to the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. Pre-game, 5:30, LSU, Oklahoma, 6 o'clock, first pitch, right here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.